All right, let's get started. I'll just start with a word of introduction. This shiur was largely stolen from Rabbi Josh Flug. I was on the phone with him discussing something today, and I decided that what we were discussing was a good topic to talk about tonight. The Gemara in Sanhedrin starts off by saying that there were 10 mitzvahs, Eser mitzvahs nisal Yisrael b'mara, that prior to going to Har Sinai, B'nai Yisrael were given 10 mitzvahs. What were they? Well, 7 of them, as we knew from before, and Sheva Shekibu Aleihem B'nai Noach, the 7 Noahide laws, V'asif Aleihem Dinin V'Shabbos V'Kibud Aveim. And besides that, they got 3 new mitzvahs, the rules of Dinim, of the justice system, the laws of Shabbos, and the laws of honoring parents. The Mechilta similarly says on the pasuk by Mara, Shem Sam Lo Chok Umishpat Rak Chok Ze HaShabbos Mishpat Ze Kibra Ve'em Devei Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Lezer HaModoy Me Chok Eru Arayish Nemo Revilti Asos Me Chukos HaToevos Umishpat Eru Dinei Onsim V'Dinei Knossos V'Dinei Chavolos. Again, 2 opinions as to what the mitzvahs they were given. In their first opinion was that they were given, again, like Rashi quoted, Shabbos and Kibud of the Aim. The second opinion has a different idea of what, that they were more related to the Zion Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. These are the primary sources, the Gemara and the Medrash. Rashi, however, when he gives his commentary on that pasuk, comes up with a totally different idea. Rashi says, what's shum sum lo? So he sort of quotes the Gemara. Gemara nasalem mixes pashya shal Torah she's asked by him. Shabbos, para aduma v'dinim. So again, like the Gemara, it says they got the rules of Shabbos. It says the rule of dinim. But however, instead of saying keep it of aim, honoring our parents, it gets swapped out with para aduma. Now that's important because Para Aduma is the halachas that we get in this week's parsha. According to this opinion of Rashi, it would seem that this week's parsha is out of order chronologically.
Yes, it was last week's parsha.
Oh.
See what?
Oh, we have a kvetchy Israeli next to me. That's basically what it comes down to. That's the long and short of it. His question was, is that...
Tell us what happened next.
Spoiler alert. Correct. So this isn't the problem. Right. So according to Rashi, this is yet another example of a muktam u'mukha b'Torah, because this would seem to have happened prior to Matan Torah. Again, even according to Rashi, one's got to scratch their head and wonder why. Usually, a muktam mucha bar Torah. When we discussed this in the women's shir last week regarding Parshas Korach, there are different opinions where it falls out chronologically. So here again, according to Rashi and Mishpatim, it would seem that Parshas Chukas predates Matan Torah. It comes before Parshas Yisro.
Why did it say that they get the shad b'lechitzei Noach and Dinah?
That's a good question. So obviously, dinim and dinim can't be the same thing. Right? So that is a fair point. And, it's a big choshe mishpat. There's a lot of room for other dinim. So you'd have to figure out what that means. A good question, though. But let's focus on Rashi. Rashi here decides that he's going to follow the Gemara, but not totally. Instead of saying kibud av v'eim, he's going to say para aduma. That is important because it has an effect on this week's parsha. In that, it would seem to indicate that this parsha is out of order chronologically. That's not impossible for Rashi to say, but this is what we will learn from it. Now, more difficult is why is Rashi arguing on the Gemara? Right? Again, you have the Medrash, which has a separate opinion, but Rashi's following opinion that doesn't follow anyone. Par Aduma does not appear in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It does not appear in the Medrash in the Mechilta. So where does Rashi get this idea that Para Aduma was given to us at Mara? The Maharal, in his super commentary on the Rashi, in his Gur Aryeh, says, Shabbos paradum v'dinim pirish nidiksev chok v'non nidikistam chok rak paraduma. He said, well, it makes sense that should be. But it says, what sham samro chok umishbat? Right? One of the mitzvahs is referred to as a chok. What is the ultimate chok, the ultimate non-understandable? So we'll ask the fellow next week who already read this last week. Right? So this week's parsha or last week's parsha is called chukas. Chukas is when we're right. Zos chukas haTorah. When you talk about a chok, that is para aduma. So it fits in well into the pasuk that's what it should be. She ain't tam lemitzvah because there's no understanding why if someone is ritually impure, why should their coming in contact with the ashes of a red cow make anything better? Correct. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Stop the button. So that is why those chukas haTorah. So therefore, that's why it says that. However, later on in the Gori Aryeh, after the three dots, you should have spaces between them, says on them, kol zed varv tmuim. He said, but I've got to admit, the whole Rashi doesn't make any sense. It's very strange. Yeah, there's logic behind it, but why isn't he just following the Gemara? Why is he rejecting the Gemara and doing what's right in his mind? There's got to be a good reason why the Gemara and the Mechilta came up with other answers. Rashi, by turning his back on the primary sources, made things bad. So the Gur Aryeh is very bothered by this. Now, this is bothersome for many reasons, right? One is it's bothersome, why would the Rashi on his own disagree with a primary source? Doesn't seem to have any backing, A. And B, the next thing is Rashi seems to be arguing on an opinion no less than Rashi. Why? Because if you look at Rashi in this week's Parsha, Rashi says, Para Aduma, why a red heifer? Mashal ben Shifcha Shetine Paltin Shel Melech. It's like the child of a maidservant who went and messed up the palace. Amru Tavro Ima V'Takanea Chatzoa. It says that the mother should come and clean up after the child. So too, Kach Tavo Para Aduma V'Techaper Al HaEgel. So too, Rashi says, The red heifer is the red cow is meant to clean up after the golden calf,
which happened after Matan Torah.
Which happened clearly after Matan Torah.
Except for those who say it happened before.
There's the machlokas
by the Mishkan, by part the egel. The egel happened before Matan Torah. Oh, that's even in Eretz Yisrael they don't read it that way. The Mishkan you're thinking about, whether the Mishkan was a response or not, but to say that the Egel, right? Moshe goes up.
He goes down. He sees.
Right. Correct. But when he went after the Teres de Dibros, he goes up. There's no Egel. Right. So therefore, we've got a problem. Rashi, not only is Rashi arguing on the primary sources, but Rashi seems to be arguing on Rashi. Right? And that's a little difficult. Therefore, the Torah Tamima comes up with a fascinating answer. And the answer to the Torah Tamima is what I'd like to focus on tonight. He says, I am Pirush Rashi, Pasuk Zeh, Kashi, Savu, Bamara, Al Dinim, Veshavu, Sapara, Aduma. The commentaries can't possibly figure out where did this come from. And what happened was there was a mistake made by the publishers. Well, blame it on the pub. What happened? Shayakosov Shabbos Vedinim Vechof Aleph. It said it had Rashi Tevos. It had an abbreviation. Which, what's that supposed to stand for? Kibud Av. Instead of writing a C, they wrote a pay, which are very similar. And instead of being kibbut of, it became para aduma. It was a typo.
It's a big typo.
What? It's close.
No, it's from a
half
to a pay. That's it.
Yeah. Right. So again, I'd like to go through a list here of the places where we try to use this excuse that someone got the Rosh HaTevis wrong, and in fact, whether that could be true or not. So that's his argument, that the answer as to why did Rashi say this, the simplest answer is because Rashi didn't say this, right? Rather, they abbreviated, and the abbreviation became problematic. Right. So, while this is interesting, other sources point out that actually, no. If you look at the Pardes Yosef says, if you're familiar with the Yotzros, which we are not here in Eidos at all, all right? The Pardes Yosef was a fellow who died in World War II. That's Porat Yosef. Very good. Thank you. But I forget his name. It's interesting. He only published on Bereishis Shmos, Vayikra, and part of Bamidbar, and then afterwards other authors finished it up. It's a very fascinating thing, and I'm blanking on his name. So he's not the first person to say this. You'll find earlier sources that come up with this. He says, "V'gam kasha divrei Rashi mas kasa para aduma divrei begitim avor the parshas para aduma nitan lohem biyom shehukam amishkan." He said, "Para aduma," it says, was given the day that the Mishkan was put up. For isi rabbi molchim tevas para aduma. So people said it must be wrong. You gotta write that out. It's a typo. He says, "Nope. If you look at the piyut the parshas para isa mimara chuka gozar nigavnon amar nigzar." If you look at it, it says that this rule, that what we say on the Parshas Para, says it was given to us when? At the time of Mara. So you see the Piyutim are very, very old. Right? Tosfos quotes the Piyutim. The Piyutim likely go back to before the year 1000. And the Piyutim definitely predated Rashi. So the answer is you can't be pointing fingers at Rashi because Rashi has an earlier source. So whether there was a medrash that was lost that they had or something else, the fact that Rashi is not the earliest source, the fact that it could very well be based on that, makes it clear that it is unlikely that Rashi was a misprint, but rather it was more likely that Rashi was based on the Piyutim. That is case number one, where people point to the idea that there was a mistake with the abbreviations. And again, there's every reason to believe that there is no mistake. Next famous case where this comes up is as follows. Looking at the Sifrei, the Medrash in the Halachic Medrash in Sefer Devarim, on the Psukim in Parshas Ekev, V'hayim Shamoa, said Avadetem Mehera V'samtem Estavari Eile. So it says that you will be wiped out if you don't follow the mitzvahs, and therefore you should put these matters on your heart. Afal Pishani Megale Eschem Min Haaretz L'Chutz La'aretz. God says, even though I'm going to send you into exile, you're going to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz. How you mitzuyonu b'mitzvahs? Keep up with the mitzvahs even when you're out there. Why? K'shetachzeru lo yu alechem chadashim. Because when I bring you back to Eretz Yisrael, I don't want you to think that this is something new. Marshal Melech Basav Adam Chekas Al Ishto. It's like a king who gets upset at his wife. V'tarfa V'veis Aviha. And he sends her back to her father's house. Amar La, Havi Mekushetes B'tachshitecha K'shetachziri Royu Alecha Chadashim. So make yourself up pretty every day, so when we take you back, you should know what you're doing. Kach amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Banai, It says there that you should, even when you're in Golus, make sure to keep up with the mitzvahs. That is what the Medrash says. Rashi quotes it a little bit different. Rashi says as follows. V'samtem es devarai. Af la'achar shigalai mitzuyim b'mitzvahs. But now he gets specific. Hanichu tefillin. Assume mezuzos. K'dei shulayim chadashim k'shetachzeru. You should keep on putting on tefillin, even in Golus. And you should keep on putting up a mezuzah, right? So therefore, when you come back, you'll remember how to do it. Kachu omer hatzivi lach tzionim. Now, wait a second. What does it sound from Rashi? Does it sound like, right now, according to many opinions, Denver is Golus? Right? We're not going to take sides. We're just going to, we'll deal with that. That is a possibility. Are we chayef to put on tefillin in Denver?
It sounds like, yeah, so you remember how to do it.
But that sounds like no, but yes, you should keep on doing it so you remember. Yeah. When you go back, you're really going to have to do it. But nowadays, it's...
mm-hmm. It's called muscle memory.
Right, but the idea is, are we... You know,
the implication is that we're not chayef.
Right, we're not... So that's now... So that's right. So that's what Rashi sounds like. Rashi sounds like it's practice. That's very, very, very hard to accept, right? Right. We know that the only mitzvahs that you're not obligated on are mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz, the mitzvahs that are related to the land of Israel, right? Agricultural mitzvahs we don't do outside of Israel. But there is nothing other than agricultural mitzvahs that we are exempt from being outside of Israel. Period. In fact, even when the Torah says, in one specific case, you're going into Israel, right, and keep this mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of sirus, the fact that you're not allowed to spay or neuter an animal. So Rashi says right there, and the Gemara says, that's only an Israel obligation? The answer is no. Obviously not. That can't be what it means, because it's only agricultural mitzvahs. Tefillin is not agricultural. Tzitzis is not agricultural. So what are we talking about here?
Agricultural?
No. And therefore, it doesn't apply. Therefore, it applies outside of Israel. What? That's agricultural.
So again,
midaraisa you don't. If we are to the extent we're chayiv, it's only midarabanan. That's why, for example, you can buy fruits in King Super without a hashgacha. How do I know it's not orla? Right? How do I know that this? So the idea is because it's the Rabbanon, a Suffolk the Rabbanon, we don't worry about it. Right? But in Eretz Yisrael, you've got to worry about that. Yes.
Why?
Again, and how do I know it's not Jewish owned? And who owns the corporations? Didn't you read the protocols? We own everything. Come on. So the Ramban comments on this and says, "Sometimes the Ra'ela Afra Achish Shigalu Hayu Metzuyim B'Mitzvos Hanichu Tefillin Asu Mezuzda Yeshu Alechem Chadoshim K'Shesafsa Kachu Omer Hatziotzioni Loshon Rashi." Quotes Rashi exactly as we have it. Kfar Kasafti Perish Ha'Inyan Ki Amitzvos Ha'Ela Chovas Hagufheim B'Dinim B'Chol Makom K'mo Ba'aretz. He said, what do you mean? This is nothing. This isn't agricultural. This is something that's to do with your body. Anything that's to do with your body, of course, applies equally whether you're in Israel or you're beyond. Aval yeshba medrash hazeh sod amuk v'kara masi memenu. This has a very, very deep idea of that, and I've already hinted towards it. So, you look in Vayikra, he goes and he explains what it is. And I thought I put the... What? Correct. Right, it's a more of a metaphysical type of thing, etc. So there are svarim that were written by the Gra, and there were svarim that were written in the name of the Gra. Svarim that were written of the Gra were clearly said by the Gra. Svarim that were written in the name of the Gra may or may not have been said by the Gra. The Divrei Eliyahu is one of the cases of the latter. And they quote as follows him. He says, Rashi never said what you think he said. It was a typo. Hey. Tough. Ayin. Mem. V'choshvu. That's what they thought it was. Right? So he said, if you continue at the end of V'hayim Shemoah, that's what we're talking about. Really, it says that even in Chutz Laretz, you should continue to do Trumas and Maestras so you don't forget when you go back. So v'asi shapir ki hein chayavas chayavas karkav emes hein betunim b'chutz laretz ach mafashil you chadash tachsu Eretz Yisrael. So in fact, that's one thing that's highly unlikely. Also, tell me, do we do Trumas and Maestras in Chutz Laretz? Did anybody suggest that? No. That's A. Also, when would this typo have to have happened? It would have had to happen before the Ramban, because the Ramban clearly had tefillin and mezuzahs. Right? So it wasn't like that over the centuries, there was over a century between the time of Rashi and the time of Ramban, but it would have been a pretty early mistake. Remember, Ramban probably had access to several versions of Rashi. So the Beis HaLevi rejects that. Right, and the Beis HaLevi basically explains, again, it's a longer piece, I put it down here, we're not going to go through the entirety, but he says that tefillin and mezuzahs are a little different than other mitzvahs. And the idea is of that there's a certain amount of the mitzvah that is related to the specifics that are told in the Chumash, and there's a lot more that's more of the Torah Shabbal Peh. It goes through, he has a theory as to why it is, but again, he rejects this. It's hard to imagine that this was really a problem of Rosh Tevis. Again, either because we don't do Trumas and Maestras nowadays, so odd that Rashi would be saying that, and there is not an opinion out there that we should accept upon ourselves a chumra that when we go to King Supers, we should take a certain amount of the fruits that we buy and give them to Rabbi Goldberg and Alex Jacobs and Steve Feldman. Right? Nobody actually suggested that. A, and B, the fact that everybody from such an early date had the same version of Rashi makes it highly unlikely. The Radvaz as well, as it's interesting, the Radvaz is later than the Ramban, but the Radvaz is a prolific author of response literature. This is Simon Beis Alofim Kuf Nun Dalet. This is response number 2154. It's not his last. We'll just leave it at that. And people asked him all sorts of questions. All mitzvahs. So he says, no, it has nothing to do with the fact that really you don't have to. He said, these are the mitzvahs we're talking about now. So all Rashi is saying is you have to keep on doing mitzvahs. It's interesting. We had 2 weeks ago in Parsha Shlach the story of the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh was this fellow who went and violated Shabbos, and for that he was put to death. So the Gemara asks in Bava Basra, who was the Mekoshesh? It was Slavchad. So the Gemara says, well, that's not. Actually, Rabbi Rakoff reminded me. Rabbi Rakoff. Right. Rabbi Rakoff reminded me that I spoke actually one time in Kansas City on Parsha Shlach. And I got a, so the Gemara there says, it's Lashon Hara. Why did you say it? Why did you say it's him? If the Chumash didn't want us to tell, why did you tell? So he said, because he did it for a good reason. What was the good reason? He said that people had to learn a lesson, that even though we're not going into Eretz Yisrael, still, yeah, if you don't keep Torah mitzvahs, you're going to be in trouble. So I said, but why would he want to die? There's other ways you can make a point. So I said, the answer is probably five daughters. That was my what? She wasn't number five.
No.
So, right. But the idea being that people, we're each off of this idea that people had this idea. Well, if we're not going into Israel, who needs the mitzvahs? So Rashi is saying so too here. You're talking. We're going to say you have to do the mitzvahs, and then we're going to talk about tefillin and mezuzahs. So he said. Right, again, I think that's the entire list. It's bad weather. Rabbi Jacobs was busy. So again, this, what? I think it was Reb Shimon who said that. Well, yeah, but the Gemara assumes that he was right. He had a tradition. That's who it was. Next. Okay, that's case number two where people suggested. We'll go through two other cases where we're dealing with potential typos because of misread abbreviations. There's a well-known halacha, I'm sure everybody knows it, that on when we bench during the week, we usually say Magdil Yeshua's Malko. Say Middle. So again, this Yossi will get a laugh out of this. I was in Eretz Yisrael last week, and I was at a chasana, as everybody knows. And I went over to some woman said, "Do you remember me?" So no. So we grew up together in Queens many, many years ago. She made Aliyah. So I said, of course, I remember your father. I used to sit next to her father in shul for many years. A fine Jew, his name was Saul Bess, a Danish Jew, and he was a kibbutzer. So his wife's name was Magda. And he said to me, on Shabbos and Yontif, I call her Migda. That was among his well-known jokes. So Yossi, he could have used it. So, yes, not for kashrus. He ate kosher all the time, but between fleshik and mishah. So why do we do this? Why do we do this? So the pasuk Migdol Yeshua's Malka Voses Chesed Lim Shichol David El Zaro Ad Olam appears twice in Tanakh, once in Shmuel Beis, right? That is the Haftorah for Ha'azinu, for those who have regular Ha'azinu Haftorahs, and for Shvi'i Shal Pesach, that is the Haftorah, the last Pasuk in the Haftorah. And then in Tehillim, the same parrot gets repeated again, but instead of saying Migdol, it says Magdil. So you read one Pasuk one time and the other Pasuk the other time. Why? What's the difference between the two of them? Why sometimes this way? Why sometimes that way? So the Torah Tamima, again, in the Sefer Baruch Sha'amar, suggests we have a problem of a typo once again. He said that when they originally, when they printed it, they wrote right? They wrote Migdal Yeshua's Malko, and they wrote next to it Shin Beis. What did Shin Beis stand for? Shmuel Beis, correct. That isn't Tehillim where you're going to say Magdil, but this is Shmuel Beis, Migdal. Make sure you say it the right way. But when they saw Shin Beis, they figured it stood for Shabbos. Oh, on Shabbos we say it this way, and the other days we say it the other way. That's what happened. Really, he said you're always supposed to say Migdal, but there is a confusion here. This is a well-known case, and people say it over all the time. This year, finally, I stumbled upon a Haggadah, the Haggadah of Rav Reuven Margolius, where he points out that this is absolute nonsense, that there is no truth to this whatsoever. Why is there no truth whatsoever? Because the person that originally came up with this idea was the Avudrum. The Avudrum was a Rishon. The Avudrum lived in the 14th century, 14th, 15th century. In the 14th, 15th century, there was no Shmuel Beis. There are 24 Sifrei Tanakh. Bereishis is one. Shmos is the second, etc. Then you have Yoshua is number 6. Shoftim is number 7. Shmuel is number 8. Malachim is number 9. Right, the idea of Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Malachim Aleph, Malachim Beis was added by other religions. That was not our idea. There are good jokes about it, right? In Eretz Yisrael, there's two Kever Shmuels. When Nebi Samuel has one, so people say, how could be two Kever Shmuels? So Shmuel Aleph is buried in one, and Shmuel Beis is buried in the other one. By Yiftach, you wouldn't have such a question, as we learned. But for Shmuel, there's no such thing. So I did the research. I went to the primary source. Let's skip to number 18. I looked at Wikipedia. So he said 1 and 2 Samuel originally, and in Moshe Jehovah, still are a single book. But the first Greek translation, called the Septuagint, and produced around the 2nd century BC, divided into two. So this idea of Shmuel Beis started actually in the 2nd century BC. This was adopted by the Latin translations used in early Christian churches of the West and finally introduced into Jewish Bibles around the early 16th century. Meaning that at the time of the Avudrum, there was no Shmuel Beis. There is no way that the Avudrum wrote Shin Beis, meaning Shmuel Beis, because there was no such thing, and there is no confusion that Shmuel Beis was Shabbos. So once again, the Torah Tamima's theory is proven wrong. And once again, this idea that people got their Rosh HaTevos mixed up, it is impossible. In the other cases, I would put them down as highly unlikely. In this case, I would go further and say that it's absolutely wrong and impossible. The Rav Reuven Margolius is correct. So what's the reason for it? So he quotes a Gemara, and I put that down as number 17. You're welcome to look it up. One more case. The final case is a Ramban. The Ramban is giving a list of what mitzvahs are mitzvahs asesha as man grama and which ones are not. We know that women are by and large potter. They are not obligated in time-bound positive mitzvahs. What are examples of time-bound positive mitzvahs and what are not? So the Gemara has a list, and the Ramban says the list is not a complete list. There are many things that either are or aren't, who are not on the list. For example, number 19, Avi Yodeya, the high Tana Hochi Tani, Ezo Mitzvah Saseshas Man Grama, Kagon Sukkah. So it lists off what's a Mitzvah Saseshas Man Grama? Sukkah is an example. Vezo Mitzvah Saseshas Man Grama, Kagon Mezuzah. Like Mezuzah. So he says, obviously there's a lot more positive commandments that list on both. Tana Vashir, they list them, but they left off many. Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, Shir, what do you leave off? Tefillin. That's a Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, the Ksiv, the Hedja, the Peturos, Vinami, Sarva Einas Man Grama, Shir, Re'iya. And what were the ones that are not Zman Grama that women have to do? The Rata Re'iya. Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, Shir, Tuva. What are positive mitzvahs that, in fact, were left off? Kibbutz, so he says, Mora Vikavod, Kibud Aveim is a positive commandment that is not time bound. Women have to do it, of course. Chala, positive commandment, not fine. Kisui Hadam, if a woman shechs, or even she's near a shochet, she has to cover the blood. Rashis Hagez, the first shearings are given over. Umatanos, and gifts that are given to the Kohen. Sviras HaOmer, right, counting of the Omer. Prika Teina, right, helping load or unload a donkey. Right, Pigeon Peter Chamor Verova Mitzvahs Kain. Long list. What list? Well, on that list was a little odd. Which of the mitzvahs that he said is not time bound? Which Sviras Omer. Wait a second. Sviras Omer is not a time bound mitzvah? How could that be? So how is he going to be saying that women have to do Sviras Omer because it's not time bound? Of course it's not. Unless I decide to count Sviras Omer right now. No.
Time bound may probably mean that you have to perform it at a certain time of the day.
And not Sukkah?
All the more so.
And tell me about Sukkah then. Never mind. Right? So that's hard to accept. So the Divrei Malkiel.
It's going to be about the unloading.
Women, of course, should unload donkeys, right? Just what Jenny did for the last two summers. Something like that. He said, "Mach shekasa kvod harasal etmal haramban bechidushav shekasa shvias omer bein mitzasei sheins man grama yafa tama." He said, "Yeah, that's a good question. Why is that on the list?" Pasha yesham tos ofen. There's got to be a misprint there once again. V'shasam mikodem gabe mitzasei sheins man grama ayin shem v'od yishrom asher kasa shem. Men tough aleph. Ayin, thank you. Who Rashi Tevis Matanos Aniyim. That tzedakah was supposed to be on the list. And it kind of looked like the, you know, letter got moved and became Sviras HaOmer. We moved two letters. Right? Or Matan Choshev say Rashi Tevis Sviras HaOmer. A mem kind of looks like a samach. Right? A tough kind of looks like a hey. Or maybe Rosh because of Samach Hayayin here with the red letters. Who raised to Seder HaAvoda? He meant to put down the carbon.
I think the lesson from all this is we should abandon the use of Rosh Hashanah tables.
What?
No girls have these tests.
Right.
You know, they're supposed to be girls have these tests that are entirely pages and pages of Rosh Hashanah tables. They're on entrance exams. What's with it?
Yeah, what's with it?
Boys never have to do this.
No.
The last 15 pages of any good safer.
You got to squeeze it in. So the truth of the matter is that, again, is that possible? Maybe. Is it likely? Highly not. Highly not. Rabbi Schechter, I was trying to look this up before, and I couldn't find it if it's published anywhere. Talks about there's a concept of melos, meaning that not everything that happens on a certain day is time-bound, meaning that that time-bound mitzvahs means calendaric mitzvahs, meaning that if the calendar causes something to happen, that is the time-bound mitzvah. If something else causes something to happen, but it happens to fall out on the same day of the calendar, that is not. Let me give you an example. The example that he likes to bring up is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush Levana. Is Kiddush Levana a time-bound, a mitzvah sasesha as man grama?
I'm not.
Women
yes,
don't do it.
You have to do it before. But if you've got a few days, you can do that.
Okay, but it's still bound. So yeah, even though...
Beginning of the month.
Time bound?
Yeah, it can just, sometimes you can do it and sometimes you can't. Right? So Rabbi Shatta points out that technically that's not a time-bound mitzvah. Right, it always falls out on the first half of the month. Yeah, but it has nothing to do with the month. It has to do with the moon. When the moon is waxing, right, then you can do Kiddush HaChodesh as opposed to when it's waning. Right? So the fact that
women don't do it.
Women don't do it because the Magen Avraham tells us that Kabbalistically women should not do it. I remember before when I got married, I said to Rabbi, look, I'm not into Kabbalah. I'm going to tell my wife she should do Kiddush HaChodesh. So he said, no, you won't. So I didn't. But, you know, that the whole.
What's the Kabbalistic reason not to do it?
When you turn 40, I'll tell you.
I don't understand.
Right.
Put it this way, I don't know. Per my email, I don't know the reason why we do.
Right.
Kiddush Levana.
Right. 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 I told you the story that one time I was davening in Washington Heights and we were out on the street and one of the local non-Jewish residents came over to us and said, "What are you doing?" And my neighbor said, "We are praying that the moon becomes big like the sun again." And I said to him, "That was great. That really did a lot to foster the relationship in the community. Shkoyach. Big shkoyach I give you for that."
That's just looks like we're praying to the moon.
What's wrong with pagan rituals? Ted, I thought you'd be more into those. Right.
Sing it slowly.
After, huh.
Somebody misinterpreted it, made it Shalosh
Pe'amim. Right, it's gonna be. Right, so again, Shloshim, Shivim.
Oh.
You were there?
No, but I know the guy.
Right.
why didn't you tell me it is bigger? It's bigger than the sun.
Doesn't look bigger because it's the same exact size. That's why.
That's where we get a solar.
That's what you get an eclipse, right?
Well, they aren't that. Sounds like we didn't.
So the idea is, again, if you have something that is a malos, right, something that falls out on the calendar but is not controlled by the calendar, right, that in fact is not a mitzvah sasei shoshman grama. So Sviras HaOmer would be such a case. Sviras HaOmer is related to the Karban HaOmer and the Karban Shnei HaLechem. Now, they happen to fall out on the same time every single year, but it's not the calendar that's driving it. So therefore, the idea is that would be the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam really thought that it was not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and there's no misprint here. That's exactly what he meant to say, and that's exactly what he said. So I think the idea is it's an interesting. There are other cases as well, but I think before you turn around and start emendating the text, amending the text, and bringing emendations, I think it's one should consider all the other possibilities because the other possibilities oftentimes are more likely correct. All right.